Hi, I'm Wendy Francis, nutrition therapist, emotional eating expert, and entrepreneur. I've helped countless people overcome their obsession with food and weight. Isn't it time you overcame what you had become and ignite who you were meant to be? Your time to become an overcomer starts now.
Hello, hello, hello. For another episode, we are here, and I'm always, you know, looking forward. This is one of the highlights of my week. I'm super blessed to be able to do what I love. My work is not work to me, and I've been really blessed in my life to never really have the option of work. I've always really had the opportunity of my passion of living and delving and being and helping others with my passion. And this is definitely the highlight, one of the highlights of my week, because I get to come on with you all and I get to talk about something new every week and something that's moving me. Tonight's call actually moved me deeply. And when I first elicited the title of tonight's call, which is "When You Eat at the Refrigerator, Pull Up a Chair," my amazing assistant and helper and right-hand woman was like, "What are you going to talk about?" And at first, I really thought about, you know, kind of a very different direction. But as I was out on a meditative walk this morning, something really hit me, almost like from the right side. Do you ever get a moment where you're like, oh my gosh, that's it? And as I go through our time together, you will understand what I'm going to talk about. But I don't want to spoil it yet. I want to start out by telling you a story. It's a true story. It's one that I feel like many can relate to, but it's one that happened to me. So in sixth grade, I was a young sixth grader, until sophomore year in high school, I always looked at other girls to compare myself. Was I shorter? Was I heavier? Was my hair blacker? Were my eyes this, right? Normal teenage angst, but I had a whole lot of it. I never really felt pretty enough or tall enough or thin enough or funny enough. Like most teenagers, I didn't really fully accept myself. During my freshman year in high school, I got some more attention from boys than I was previously used to, and sophomore year, even more, especially from these few boys that were my friends. I had a lot of boy friends, but not a lot of boyfriends, yeah, and I liked it that way. Having boys as my friends kept me significantly feeling safe. But there was this crew of about four boys that were 2 years older than I was that were my friends. And they had no ill intention. They didn't like me. They never tried to hurt me. They almost came on board in my life as older brothers. Now, for a girl that didn't have a dad growing up, this was like angelic material, realistically, when I look back at this time period in my life, because having those boys lean down on me probably was one of the biggest things, monumental things, that helped me move into the area I'm going to talk about now. Junior year, the summer after that, I got a job lifeguarding at a pool, and I wound up working with one of those four boys. And all of those older boys came every day to my pool and played in the pool all day, wiffle ball, football, whatever it was. And I had to get really good with being comfortable with myself to be around these boys. I had to, in fact, become comfortable with myself in a bathing suit around these boys. So not just comfortable, but comfortable in a bathing suit, yeah? And that summer, I really came into myself. I learned some hard lessons, and I learned some amazing ones. Most importantly, I learned how to wear a bathing suit and accept myself in front of these boys, which is an amazingly big deal as a teenager. More so, I look back on it now as pivotal. I started to accept that I was shorter than maybe my best friend, who was 5'8 and slender and beautiful and had an amazing figure. And maybe I had more booty than she did and more of a boisterous laugh and a family that didn't look perfect like hers did. But maybe I had other things. And as I moved into my senior year in more acceptance of myself than ever, I found a sense of self-esteem I'd not yet experienced. You see, moving into acceptance of where and who I was allowed me to build a foundation for what I had and who I wanted to be. The road from there on out wasn't perfect or even clear sometimes and got mucky, but the first note of acceptance that were placed in me that summer inevitably have led me to where I am now. Glennon Doyle, who's an amazing writer, and if you haven't picked up any of your books, I encourage you to do so. I'll be talking about one of her books in a few weeks called Untamed. But she talks much about acceptance in her new book. And there's so much in accepting ourselves and where we are in the moment. I've worked so long with clients around this piece, and it's one of the things so many people don't pick up. They don't recognize that you've got to accept where you are right now in order to change where you want to be. So many of us stay in resistance, just like I stayed in resistance for years, and sometimes around other things. By no means am I perfect. This is one learning lesson that I had in my life. And many of you may have experienced a moment or a number of moments when you recognized that where you were was not where you wanted to be, with your weight, your food, your eating, maybe your career, your profession, your marriage. Your road either led you to acceptance, resistance, or denial. Acceptance doesn't mean you sit with where you are complacently. And I've had so many people think that, well, if I just accept it, then I'm just weak, and I'll never fight, and I'll never change, and it'll never be different. It's actually on the contrary. You see, in the story I told you, the truth was I didn't necessarily not change. I changed more after I accepted who I was. So acceptance doesn't mean you sit with where you are complacently. It means you accept it so you can change it. You accept it so you can change it. So many of my clients resist where their weight is, deny where their weight is. And in that, you can't change it. Acceptance is one of the most powerful things we can do. Accepting ourselves as who and where we are, and sometimes maybe accepting others for who or where they are. When you can do that, you can truly decide what you want to change. As psychotherapist Carl Rogers has said, the curious paradox is when I accept myself just as I am, then I can change. This moment of acceptance is so imperative, especially when it comes to changing your weight, changing your relationship with food, changing your body, changing your body image. I mean, if I could just help one person accept where they are, you'd see the magnanimous difference of that feeling that comes over you when you accept something. You just understand that it doesn't have to be so then. What acceptance actually means is a number of things. Acceptance can mean that we let go of judgment and instead practice perceiving things as they actually are. Many of you have heard me talk about awareness on these calls, and this is where awareness comes into play. If we're aware of where we are, we can accept it. Doesn't mean we have to like it. Just means we have to accept it. If you become aware of when you're negatively judging or criticizing somebody else or something else or yourself, you know you're not in acceptance. When we're judging or criticizing, we're in resistance or sometimes denial, depending on the way things swing with what you're thinking or feeling or acting out. When we're in acceptance, we have to learn and know and understand what we can and cannot control. There are certain things we can control. And unfortunately, there's other things that we can't control. I can't be 5'8" like my best girlfriend in high school. I can't. I'm 5'2½" on a good day. That's as tall as I'm going to get. Now, I couldn't control that. Could I control other things? Yeah, I could control other things. Most importantly, I could control how I felt, right? When it comes to your weight, your feelings about your weight, your body image, there are certain things you can control, like how you feel, how, if you accept or not. Do you lay down the resistance sword? And there's other things that you can't control. We can't control our genetics, but we certainly can influence them. And so understanding what you can and cannot control can absolutely help you with your acceptance meter, so to speak. Keep in mind that acceptance is usually a choice we make again and again and again over time. So I told a specific story earlier. It doesn't mean that my journey with that whole part of me ended right then and there, my senior year in high school. I had to continue to learn to accept myself again and again and again for who I am, how I look, what I bring to the table, and what I don't. It is a practice. And so remember that. If you move into acceptance of something, that you do have to continue to make the choice to practice those things. Acceptance actually means acknowledgement. Acknowledging who and where you are allows you to change what you want to become. DBT, or dialectical behavioral therapy, is a construct that talks about radical acceptance. In fact, if you listen to Lady Gaga, she did a podcast. Actually, she did a Oprah talk on stage in January that was turned into a podcast for Oprah. And she talked on that podcast about radical acceptance. And there are stages to radical acceptance and ways to work through it. It's an interesting read if you Google radical acceptance in dialectical behavioral therapy. She talked a lot about that because Lady Gaga has been through a whole lot of stuff in her life. And so she's worked a whole lot on herself as well. And what struck me so much is that I've learned about DBT and I know about radical acceptance, but there's something about hearing the phrase radical acceptance. How many of us can say we radically accept who we are? Takes a monumental leap, right, to get there. Don't criticize how you got here. In order to really accept yourself, you've got to learn from how you got here. And if you criticize it, you won't learn from it. So how did you gain weight? How do you eat? What is your relationship with food? What are the patterns? What patterns do you hold with your food and your weight? And maybe what patterns do you hold with other people with food? What patterns have been destructive? And what patterns have been constructive? Now that's the gem, right? Because we all hold patterns. And there's nothing wrong with patterns. But it's really learning what patterns are destructive and what patterns are constructive. It's really important to understand the difference. And sometimes a pattern can start out as constructive, right? We might, when we're younger, use food to self-soothe. We might eat a Hershey bar because we feel sad. And in that moment, it can be constructive. Now, where it becomes destructive is then every time when you're upset or unhappy and need to be self-soothed, you use the Hershey bar. You see the difference? If you let that be the only way you connect or soothe that, it becomes destructive, right? Conversely, I've worked with clients who started an exercise regimen that's really constructive, right? We think as a population, oh, they're exercising, that's amazing. So we would think that would be constructive. The problem is if someone moves into over-exercise or moves into punishing their body, it becomes destructive. So understanding the difference is imperative. Acceptance doesn't mean that you have to like it, continue to choose it, or support it. But by struggling against the pain, by resisting, rejecting, or denying it, we create undue suffering for ourselves. It doesn't mean that you've chosen or you endorse what you're accepting. It just means that you acknowledge and you accept it. Acceptance is an active process. It's not a one-time decision. Those things continue to creep up when we're tired or angry or in a default emotion. We might revert back to resistance or maybe even denial. So find yourself in that and practice acceptance. You can find words or mantras that support this. So it might be my weight or my body is where it is right now. I accept it and I trust that I can change. And in that acceptance, you can find that love. When we resist, deny, we wind up moving into loathing or self-hate. And that we cannot make change from. Acceptance is not a sign of weakness, but a sign of strength. It is a surrender to the what is, not the fight to what should have been, could have been, or would have been. It's in the surrender we use our strength to move into what we desire and strive to be. I can remember years ago, I had a client come in, and she was wanting to come in to me to work on her emotional eating. She was overweight. And on her assessment form, she said she hadn't weighed herself in months. She stopped getting on the scale. She thought she was around 250-something-ish, was what she wrote on her assessment. And so we talked through that. And her feeling of wanting to resist and deny that number on the scale. She wasn't sure she could accept it. And there was a fear for her around that. Now, sometimes that's a protective ego strength because it just wants us to stay safe. And sometimes it's a saboteur. And so we talked through that and felt like it was beneficial for her to actually step on the scale so we could talk through it. When she got on the scale, she was over 320 pounds. She gained 70 pounds in a short amount of time. And the shattering of her mirror broke in my office. And we sat as she cried and had to move into acceptance of what was. Now, that can be a process for some people. When you move into denial and resistance, moving then back into reality can be a shattering. And that's what it was for her. And I was honored that I could sit with her and help her move from denial to acceptance. But that's a bridge you have to cross when you run away from reality and you don't accept. For her, it was monumental. She wound up doing amazing, working on her emotional eating and also losing weight. But we had to shatter that mirror. And sometimes that can be devastating. For her, as we moved her into acceptance, it enabled her to be empowered over time. It took work, don't get me wrong, but enabled her to be empowered over where she was and to understand how denial can undercut you in the long run. In the moment, it feels okay. And I've heard from many, many clients, I'm doing okay. It's okay. I'm okay. And I keep thinking, But what about great? What about amazing? What about fantastic? Do we really just settle for okay? What if acceptance actually brings us to amazing and fantastic? The easiest way to move into acceptance is to be present in your daily life. Once you understand what is to be accepted, you can move that into acceptance. Understanding who you are, where you are, and what you are is the first step of acceptance. I focus on weight, food, relationship, body image, but you can take this message to any facet of your life you want to. Acceptance empowers you to be out of the would have, out of the should have, and away from the could have. Owning, embracing, and accepting who you are and where you are truly enables you to become who you are meant to be in your body, mind, and your soul.
Thanks for listening. If you like this podcast, share it with a friend. Rate, review, and subscribe. You never know who you'll help become the next overcomer.